So you might not believe this if you listen to traditional sports talk media or sports media in general. But there are often two sides to every story. And they may not actually be opposite sides, because that's what embrace debate would lead you to believe. But there may be multiple angles that might reveal different truths. See, NASCAR's racing at North Wilkesboro Speedway, as we discussed Monday in the Fast Lane, left a lot to be desired, as it has done for much of the short track tenure of this next-gen car that came out last year. But the spectacle around it was phenomenal, it being the return to North Wilkesboro for the first time in over 25 years, finally going back to that track. And so that's where you get different perspectives. See, Bubba Wallace was asked about this after the race, a different tone than I would have taken, because he's fine with more than 200 laps, maybe even going 400 laps.
400 laps? Absolutely. Sign me up. That'd be sick.
No, it would not. Not under this next-gen car. Look, I'm not the anti-Bubba Wallace guy that a lot of people are. I think he's good for the sport. His presence alone makes it exciting and entertaining. He gives people something to discuss. And of course, his outspokenness and presence during the COVID-19 pandemic and all the uprising that took place gave us something to discuss in 2020, so I will be forever thankful for that. But Bubba Wallace also touched on a different nerve, and that is NASCAR's willingness. NASCAR is an overarching body because they put on the All-Star Race to a certain extent, although it is owned by SMI Tracks, Speedway Motorsports, and is rotated between their venues with Charlotte initially, Bristol, and then Texas, the worst track ever in any capacity, was part of that rotation somehow for multiple years. So Bubba Wallace earned brownie points when he was at least candid enough to admit that, well, the race at North Wilkesboro, even the racing, better than Texas.
Lovely. Loved it. I can't wait to come back.
I mean, I know that you were maybe not the fan favorite, but...
I wasn't?
No, you were, but...
I thought it was opposite day today.
Could you feel like... I mean, compared to like a tech doing this at Texas.
Oh,
like,
way better than Texas.
Yeah.
Way better than Texas.
Yeah, my man! Just by that comment alone. Way better than Texas. So you've got a benchmark. See, here's the thing. NASCAR ironically left North Wilkesboro for Texas and New Hampshire, and those were the two tracks that got the dates that initially applied and were given to North Wilkesboro. And I understand there was some commentary from Darrell Waltrip on the NASCAR on Fox broadcast Sunday as he was reunited. You know, great in small doses. I don't think we need him all the time on NASCAR broadcast, but once in every few years, I guess it's fine to have him back. And certainly for an event like North Wilkesboro, he raced there, he won there, he was part of the heyday of that track. I'm fine bringing him back for that. But it's ironic because Texas was horrible. It's never been good. New Hampshire has been okay, but not to the degree that many resembled North Wilkesboro. And while the quality of the race itself kind of sucked, to be honest, and we don't need 400 laps when you could barely stomach 200 laps, NASCAR applied the golden rule of business. The golden rule, which can be broken in very few exceptions. Henry Ford, back in the day, realizing, maybe people don't need to have the horse and buggy. Maybe we can do better than that. Or Steve Jobs, God rest his soul as well, realizing that we can upgrade over a computer or the old in-the-bag, screw-on-the-cord or screw-on-the-antenna cell phone. Trey, that was way before your generation, but a lot of our listening audience, and myself included, remember those days where you had to pull the cell phone out of the bag, screw on the antenna, and then hope you had a cell signal, not basically were gifted it wherever you go. That's what you got. And those are the rarities, because the reality is one of the golden rules of business is not that. One of the golden rules of business is the customer is almost always correct. And NASCAR going back to North Wilkesboro brought that to the forefront. See, the racing itself left a lot to be desired. Now, granted, this car is not very good for short tracks. It's much better for intermediates. In spite of that, Texas still sucks. So say what you will about that particular track. It can't even do well when the car is tailored to it. But NASCAR did the one thing right. And that's part of the reason why there was all the hype around the return to North Wilkesboro, why the fans got into it. You saw all the festivity in the action leading up to this event. Because they, above all, accepted the trade-offs for coming to this venue and adhered to the golden rule of operating a business. Sorry, dreamy entrepreneurs, you can't often think this way, but it's the most simple rule. The customer's always right. I mean, look, okay, yeah, if the customer has ridiculous demands, give me that product for free and I'll give you nothing more in return. We get some of those. We'll present an advertising proposal. They want to change nothing about what they receive, but they want to just slice the price. It doesn't really work like that. But here's the comical part. It's amazing because when you just listen to what they say, they might overlook the flaws. Now, granted, the ratings were not as good this year as they've been in prior years. Some of that's going head-to-head with the NBA playoffs. I get that. That matters a lot. Boston versus Miami, that was a big part of it on Sunday night. And NASCAR had to go head-to-head with that direct competition. Also, the broadcast window was much larger this year than at Texas. You're trying to hold the attention span of NASCAR fans or anybody in this day and age longer than build up. And you start the broadcast coverage around 5. It doesn't wrap up until about 10 p.m. After that. 5 hours. NASCAR tries to keep broadcast windows to that on normal race weekends with 400 miles laps or whatever it is, plus the broadcast pre-race show and the post-race show. So that all needs to be considered. But NASCAR was willing to do the thing they should do and have done all along. Listen to the customers. And drivers clearly understand that. First, Denny Hamlin. Understandable that the race has to deliver itself, and it didn't, but also believing that there is still, in some form or fashion, a place on the Cup Series schedule for a venue like North Wilkesboro.
This asphalt is not the new stuff, and it's been, I don't know, when's the last time it got repaved?
81. Nice job, 50, everybody.
50, wow, that's really, well done.
I was impressed.
42 years, so like, old style asphalt's not going to die in 5 years, so let's, you know, again, anything, if we're here for past 10 years, then we're putting on good racing. We got to put on, if we repave it, we got to put on good racing right away. And you're going to have to change the asphalt to do that. There's places on the schedule for tracks like this and Martinsville and smaller market places that, you know, kind of the sweetheart tracks, you know. So I certainly think that there's a place on it.
See, it's the sweetheart tracks, as Denny Hamlin mentioned there. And yet you got to be willing to make upgrades and infrastructure changes. And he outlined that the company that owns North Wilkesboro now, ironically the one that bought the dates, left and took them to Texas and sold one of them so that New Hampshire could get an extra date. Ironically, they've brought the racing back to this particular venue. But the reality also is that they listen to the customers, to the fans. And Brad Keselowski, my guy, B-Rad from Boo, Malibu, who's most wanted reference coming into the fast lane, mentioned that you've got traffic, as many prognosticated would be an issue, although the North Wilkesboro Twitter account said they got in and out in 1 hour and about 42 minutes. I love the about for that. But 1 hour and 42 minutes is when they got out. That's not bad for a race venue. And granted, this is not the largest capacity venue in NASCAR. You're looking at like 30,000 people come to this. It's not 60,000 like Martinsville. It's not more than that, as most other venues can claim. But if you're willing to accept the trade-off, and the fans are willing to do it as well, then there's also a place like this in his eyes, as he too, like Denny Hamlin, has an ownership stake. Hamlin with 2311 Racing, B-Rad with Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing.
Well, I mean, I think this is a great event for our industry, and I think sometimes we get caught up on things that maybe aren't as important. I'm not worried about coming to tracks like this. I mean, yes, there's going to be some sacrifices. I'm sure the traffic on Sunday is going to be a problem, and I'm sure there's going to be issues with, you know, whether it's a track coming up or whatever it is. And those things are going to happen when you come to venues such as this. But I think they're a welcome trade-off to, you know, having a stale schedule of, you know, every year the same place.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. See, I got into a conversation with a guy, and I don't know if he wants me to mention his name, so we'll just go by the alias of Juan today. And he mentioned that he used to be a NASCAR fan and has drifted more to Formula One. And, you know, this race at North Wilkesboro aside, I maintain the NASCAR racing product itself has been better than Formula One. But what has Formula One done that NASCAR has not done is often finding a way to cater to the customers. They've given them legitimate insight and access with the Drive to Survive show. It creates all the drama, kind of puts the old Heinz ketchup dressing or the A1 sauce back on the nasty steak, kind of the old Jerry Jones, Howard Johnson principle where they used to have the fancy steak sauces there to mask the crappy food quality. You know, it's kind of what Formula One has done really well. Well, what they've done with that is, again, to the Jerry Jones Howard Johnson comparison, for those that are old enough to remember the hotel and the accompanying restaurant, they have listened to the customer. I mean, it's such a novel concept, I know, for plenty of people in business. But NASCAR finally doing the same thing by going back to a track like this, and they played off those emotions. And the guy that often has encapsulated the NASCAR fan, and it's ironic because he was never the driver that his dad was. Sorry, let's just be real about Dale Sr. versus Dale Jr. And I don't think he ever had the passion that his dad had for driving. He's had it for all his ventures after driving. The media venture with Dirty Mo Media, his podcast network, he's got one. Denny Hamlin has a podcast, got another other media ventures there. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has done a lot in terms of reviving lost speedways, and North Wilkesboro being the crown of that. Well, that plays on the nostalgia. Out of all the sports that are out there, and again, going back to the theory of listening to your customers, listening to your fans because they are your customers, yes, sometimes you can introduce them to new things that they want. And I don't think going to big markets is the worst idea in the world, because you need to reach new people and show them what they want. People that are not familiar with NASCAR, that it can be a viable product economically and worth going to. NASCAR's preseason, or whatever you want to call it, the beginning of the year race at the LA Coliseum has kind of become that for NASCAR. And they're going to try to replicate it with the street race in Chicago Independence Day weekend. But there's also a place on the schedule, as Denny Hamlin noted, for the sweetheart tracks in NASCAR, and it's why Dale Jr. was very emotional when speaking late last week, looking ahead to the race, that part of the reason why, the fact that you got a cup race at North Wilkesboro defied a lot of people's expectations when this track was left for dead, in theory and in part because the former people who ran Speedway Motorsports, and granted, they're the relatives of the current people who run it, Marcus Smith's dad, Bruton Smith, thought the track basically needed to be left for dead. And maybe there was a place and time to move away from it, but the fans kept crying for it, and they had a chance to back it up, and they showed out for the weekend in spite of the fact that the racing was meh. They were willing to do that, and that's why there's so much emotion that Dale Jr. was able to convey through how the fans felt over this past weekend.
Because he used to tell me, we never have nothing more than a truck race here. If you ever did anything, you never have nothing more than a truck race. So I think Sunday when they get the green flag and they're firing down the front straightaway, all of us are going to have some sort of a reaction to that, I think, right? Some very nostalgic, you know, feeling about it, and that'll be a good thing. I just hope that the fans support it.
Indeed. I think the fans did support it, and that's amazing considering that the racing quality, again, was not good, but it goes back to what they want and what you're willing to give them, which is what they want, and the fans certainly got that. And that's what made this weekend as good as possible in spite of the not so good racing, that NASCAR went back to the most basic principle in economics, listening to the fans and listening to something of what they wanted. And yes, sometimes you need to introduce new concepts, but you can't be so arrogant to believe that you can always tell the customer what they want and believe that ignoring them is actually the right way to go about things. Speaking of ignoring the customers, there's one place that never does that, because they know that you want specials this time of year, for Memorial Day and beyond through D-Day. That's InsaneRadioDeals.com. D-Day 6-6. InsaneRadioDeals.com. Specials that are 6-6, 66% off. Everything listed at InsaneRadioDeals.com. The Lotus Beauty Bar, AquaTrek Adventures, Get Air Lynchburg Experiences. Speaking of those, SeaQuest of Lynchburg Experiences. And much, much more. So shop now, enter the promo code MILITARY in honor of our military when you're at checkout at InsaneRadioDeals.com and get 66% off the list price. Now, to other topics, calling Trey to the studio. He's physically been here, but now he gets to mentally check back in. In the past five.
I'm always locked in, man. This is game seven every day.
It is. There may not be a game seven.
I'm not the Boston Celtics, man. I am not the Boston Celtics. I don't roll over. I lock in. You know, I might be like the Lakers where I play competitive games.
Hold your horses, because that's where we begin the Fast Five at five-ish.
It's time for the Fast Five at five-ish. Five fast-paced, quick-witted things you need to know right now. Number five.
All right, Trey, we've had one sweep of the four conference finals in the NHL and NBA playoffs. Last night, your guy, LeBron, got swept out of the playoffs. By Denver.
Not because of him.
No, it was he had 40 points and almost had a triple-double. But LeBron the GM didn't exactly assemble a helpful roster for LeBron the player.
Wait a minute. Timeout. For the fact that the Lakers were a 13 seed at one point and made it to the Western Conference Finals and lost to the best team in the NBA who has the best player in the world right now, let's not criticize the Lakers. Well, they punched above their weight class. They accomplished more than you expected. Like, I know you want to bash LeBron right now.
No, I don't bash LeBron the player. No, it's the GM.
No, okay, don't bash the GM right now because it's not like they did a, like Rob Pelinka did a good job with this roster getting it to the postseason, and the real reason the Lakers advanced was Anthony Davis, and who brought Anthony Davis to the Lakers was LeBron James. So I think it was AD did not have his best series, and Denver is too good and too deep, and they will probably win the title despite the fact that I will be heavily rooting against them.
Well, that's likely to be the case, which brings us to
number four.
Because one sweep has already taken place. We mentioned that a moment ago. Denver sweeping out the Lakers 4-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Trey, when you look at the NHL playoffs, Florida leads Carolina 3-0 in the East. Vegas leads Dallas 2-0 in the West. And then your Miami Heat lead the Boston Celtics 3-0 with a chance to end that series tonight. Do we get even a game five in any of these series?
Did you not?
Hold up. In any of these series?
In hockey, yes. I think Dallas wins tonight. Dallas could win tonight. Go up. That'd be 2-1. Maybe Carolina wins a game. I feel like Carolina should have won. Like, Carolina has played really competitive. It's just insane goalkeeping by Florida. So I could see that happening. So, but no, the Celtics are losing. They're dead. Did you not watch the last game?
Oh, I watched it. I mean, okay. it looked like a dead team walking.
Yes, they're done.
There is a time for people to jump on board, and I know you may look around and see them at 8-1 or 7-1 odds to win the East, and maybe I end up eating my words, but here's the thing. You need to not only have the talent, they do, you need to have a level of chemistry and maybe some luck that goes your way. I don't think luck has been a factor here because they've been outplayed thoroughly in all three games. It's not like a fluke play here or there. And they've been outcoached. I mean, I'm willing to say this. If you want to put Popovich and Kerr in there with Spo, I can understand the argument.
NBA.
But clearly the best coach in the NBA.
It's not a debate.
See, here's my thing.
Not a debate.
No, I'm not debating you, though. See, you think I am.
Come on, Spurs
Embrace
fan.
No, and I love Popovich, and you know he's got a special place in my heart. But here's the thing with Spo. He's done a lot, and this roster is not all that talented in terms of upside. I will say this, though. There may be a spot for folks to sit there and maybe discount some of the statistics and data you get from an NBA regular season. Denver, everyone could have seen their run coming to a certain extent.
Best player.
I mean, look.
They had the best player in the world.
I know we've joked about LeBron, but Jokic was the best player. He should have been MVP, not Joel Embiid from Philadelphia. That was
a
farce.
Fine. And the playoffs overshadowed these things, but Embiid didn't. I mean, Jokic basically didn't play the last month of the year.
Basically, he did not. Which brings us out of the NBA to
number three.
Your hat is for Virginia Tech. Their baseball team had the lead, but they lost today to Boston College. How are you feeling about their chances of going back to the NCAA baseball tournament?
Nah, it's over.
You just stick a fork in them at this point.
DOA.
I think you're right, Trey. It's sad and disappointing because you know me, when people ask who my favorite teams are, it's UVA men's lacrosse because they made it to the Final Four. We'll get into that later today around 5:40 today with Matt Ward, who played for UVA and is an analyst for ESPN. He's seen them in this postseason run, but it's UVA lacrosse, Virginia Tech softball, Liberty softball, Virginia Tech baseball, UVA baseball. Most years I'll put Liberty baseball in there. They've underwhelmed, but they are in the ASUN tournament and they got the win on a grand slam today. But, you know, UVA baseball, kind of the last hope to make a run in this thing and give us some content heading to June. People ask my favorite teams. That's it above all because of that. But for Virginia Tech baseball, yeah, I mean, it has just not come together this year. They lost a lot off last year's team, but it seems like the most elusive thing to them has been just the consistent pitching. Last year, it wasn't quite there, but they got hot at the right time. This year, it just flat out has not been there at all.
Number two.
A couple of rules from the NFL, one of which you could have seen coming from a mile away, but it doesn't mean that I like it. Fair catch is what has been allowed in the NFL. If you fair catch a kickoff inside the 25-yard line, you'll automatically get it at the 25-yard line. The purist in me as a football fan cannot stand this rule. I 100% get it. When you've been drifting away from the kickoff, like the NFL has done for a while, and safety has been the purported measurement, never mind that the game is inherently violent, but they've tried to make steps, or take steps, to combat that, the NFL has. So, again, I get it. But the kickoff is at the 35-yard line. If you really want it to be at the 25, most of these kickers are good enough that they'll just boom the ball out of the back of the end zone anyway. And if nothing else, I like the element of strategy that if you can find a way to angle it and or short kick it, that you might actually be able to force a return and play a little bit of field position. As a football purist, can't stand it. As a logical person, I get it, but there's a major difference between the two of them, and it won't fundamentally alter the game. It won't stop me from watching it because the kickoff has kind of been phased out, but a little disappointing that this rule has been put in place.
And number one on the Fast Five at five.
The NFL announcing that with 28 days notice, they might be able to move teams out of a Sunday game, a Monday game, or maybe even a Saturday game.
No, this is Thursday.
Thursday night football.
Misread what you said.
I was trying to... Maybe I misspoke. I could have phrased that a little less clunky, apparently. But the reality is the NFL has put flex scheduling into place for Thursday night football. It was voted down initially. They got the 24 teams that voted for the rule. There were 8 of them that voted against it. Nobody abstained from it. As a football fan in one of those markets, I wouldn't like the rule. But again, I'll just speak very selfishly in this sense. I want the most competitive matchups. Now, the flip side to that is, even with 4 weeks notice, because you have to give a team 28 days notice or teams 28 days notice that you have to be able to play. And you cannot play 2 road games on Thursday night football during the course of the season. So if you have an early Thursday night game, let's just put Minnesota in the example of this. Minnesota plays at Philadelphia early season Thursday night football. They cannot go on the road again on Thursday night football, so it might move some of those potential games out of the way for consideration. As somebody who just wants to broadcast the best games, as we often do and have been fortunate enough to do for Thursday nights, Sunday nights, Monday nights, Sunday afternoon, even some college football games surrounding our Virginia Tech games on Thursday or Saturday in the college football season. I just want the best matchups that are out there. As a fan, though, I would be upset and completely can understand why you might feel that way if you're a fan listening on the CBS Sports Radio Lynchburg app.
And there is your Fast Five at five.
When we return in the Fast Lane, local sports reporter Ben Cates of NewsAdvance.com. We are at regionals for high school sports. We're actually getting quite a bit of blowouts as we did in high school basketball. Ben Cates will give us the latest on that and more in the Fast Lane on the CBS Sports Radio Lynchburg app and the Virginia Talk Radio Network.